This will be the conference chat, the BYD conference call for the first day of March, year 2023. Hello. I unmuted you. Maybe you're muted at your end.
No, I'm unmuted. Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can, yeah. Could you hear the music playing?
No, I just came in. I didn't hear anything. I just got right in. That was all.
Oh, see if you can hear this.
Yeah, I can hear the music.
Can you?
Yeah, I can. It's light, but I can hear it.
Oh, okay. I was just curious at how much my microphone picks up with the music playing. Okay,
I talked to Al a little while ago. I checked with Al about tomorrow, and he said
yeah.
There's a big storm coming in, probably tornadoes.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, because when I checked with him, I says, we still on through? He says, I don't know. He says, that depends upon the weather. I says, why? What's going on? He says, there's a huge front coming in, possibly tornadoes, heavy thunderstorms and all that. He says, if that comes in, we'll probably hold off until Friday, and then Chris can take me Friday.
Holy cow. Crazy weather.
Yeah, I don't have a
crazy.
I didn't have a television or anything, and it's been kind of cloudy all day anyway.
Oh, really?
But it's been nice. I mean, it's been about maybe 65 degrees, so it's been great. No rain or anything, but you can see how's
yeah.
The weather there in Florida.
It was a beautiful day. I mean, warm during the day when you're in the sun's very hot. And, but if you're in the shade, it was quite pleasant. And now tonight it's already, I think it's down to the lower 70s already. So it's cooling off already to be a fairly pleasant evening. Ralph is asking how you're doing.
Hey, Ralph. I'm doing fine, Ralph. I've taken a few days off and it's done me a heck of a lot of good. So I got my old spirit back, so I was getting down in the chops for a while there, and I thought Yahweh told me my mouth shut for a while and just let things go and let things settle in my mind and in my heart and all will be well. So he's always right.
He may be telling more people that than you know, because my other good friend that lives not too far from you just sent me an email. He wants no communications by electronics whatsoever from now on. He said, if you want to get a hold of me, send me a letter. He doesn't want email. He doesn't want emails, phone calls, any of that. He's pretty much just dropping off the whole network. So he must be getting the feeling that it's time to stay off social media and just be quiet. At least that's how he feels. He said, "It's I'm not upset." He said, and it's not the quantity of emails or nothing else. He goes, I just feel like they've got too many hooks into us. They know too much about us. And the only way to stop that is shut down communications other than face to face or by email or by a regular letter, post office, through the post office, send a letter out.
Well, the post office is getting kind of, I got there to get my mail at 5 o'clock and it's there. And I checked again at about 5:30 and it's there. I never saw them coming. I don't even think they come in mail trucks now.
I everything is just strange. I was talking to a veteran.
I give up. I've survived it this world this long. I can do it a little longer.
Exactly. I just had to call one of my veteran friends off the fence. He was getting ready to jump off the ledge. He was fed up with the United States and going to go to another country. And I just said, you know, the fight's here, dude. I mean, if America falls, what? Don't you understand that if we fall, the communists win and it'll be worldwide? So, yeah, you might
there's
get a
year.
There's
nowhere else to go.
That's what
there's
I mean.
There's nowhere else to go. We have to make a stand now. Stand where we are and say, you will not take us down. That's it.
Right. We were given dominion, and we just haven't taken that dominion back. We were buffaloed into thinking that they have all the power when it's actually us. Ralph says here that he took a five-month break from emailing and all that stuff.
Yeah, quite a while. I missed my buddy. I had nobody to talk about trannies with.
He said here he got a hold of Kaminsky. Kaminsky thought he was dead. He's not dead. No. Just going to break, that's all. We got Charles.
No, as long as Ralph is in the world, I have a smile on my face. So Ralph is okay.
Yeah. Welcome, Charles. How are you doing tonight? You're unmuted. You're unmuted, so if you want to say something.
Hey, Dad, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How about you? How's everything out there with you? Ella, she's out there in Texas, not too awful far from where you're at. She says some big storms coming in your way.
Yeah, it's been a little bit stormy here lately. Not too bad where I'm at.
Okay.
Yeah. Any others here behind me? Let me click attendees. I guess I can see for myself.
Yeah, if you click on the attendees, it'll tell you.
All right. Good deal.
We got Canada.
Are you as far as Abilene? Charles, are you as far as Abilene?
I'm 50 miles south of Abilene, Ella.
Okay. I got a picture now. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Now, my son-in-law said there's nasty weather coming in from the west, but he doesn't think it's going to come this far.
Yeah. I haven't checked the weather report for a while, so I don't know. I'll check it later.
I don't have the weather report. I don't have television or anything, so I didn't. Well, usually my son-in-law will tell me what's coming. We're supposed to go shopping tomorrow, so I called him to find out how our plans were for shopping. He said, depends on the weather. Then he told me it was coming in pretty bad from the west.
Well, do you have a computer and the internet connection?
Oh, yeah, I can go onto my stupid computer. That's what I call it. And I could, click on the weather and it'll give me the weather and everything. But
yeah,
half the time it doesn't do what it says it's going to do anyway.
Okay.
Well, that's like when I was taking flying lessons, my instructor, we would sit there before we'd take off in the airplane, and he says, they tell us to check the tower and to get our weather reports, and he said, I just walk over and open up the door and look outside. He said, that's the most accurate weather you can get anyway. In fact, one of the last flights I was with him before I left North Carolina, we took a plane for a checkup to another airport that was west of the town. So we flew in there, and while we were in the near where the radio people were and the maintenance people, we were in there talking, and one of our friends came over and says, you guys might want to look outside. And we went out there, and here – you could see the dark clouds starting to come in. So he said, let's go. We got to get back now. And we ended up flying the whole way from that airport back to our home airport, just ahead of a major thunderstorm coming in. It was funny. As we landed, the raindrops were starting to come down. It's one thing about when you're flying along in a plane at 3,000 to 3,500 feet up in the air, you get a bird's eye view of a thunderstorm pretty good.
Yeah. Things like that, common sense goes a real long way. College institutions are way overrated and other institutions. You know, if you're just paying attention and you got common sense, you can deal with most of life's problems.
What I'm finding interesting, you know, it says in Scripture that we put things in motion sometimes by speaking it. There's a lot of verses that talk about the fact that he brought this world into existence by the command of his voice. And I'm sitting here watching these news reports today, and I'm thinking, this is stuff that we've been talking about, and we didn't talk to any of these agencies like Greg Hunter with Watchdog EA, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, and people like that, and yet their interview that they did today or yesterday that I watched today, they were talking about some of the very same things that we talk about here on Wednesday nights and in my Sunday morning broadcasts. They were talking about this cabal wants to kill us and control us all. It's all part of a Zionist communist conspiracy. They were even talking about the sheriffs being our last line of defense in the system we have today, and that the sheriffs need to work with the local militia and posses. Yep. I mean, it was almost like they were listening into our conversations. That we need a parallel court system outside of the current court. I mean, it was like, have you guys been listening in? Maybe they're spying on us and listening in, because I mean, they were talking about the very same things that, like I said, the Sunday calls, the Monday afternoon or the Monday evening calls, our call here on Wednesday night, many of our topics. And here's Greg Hunter and Dr. Kaufman and Vernon Coleman and all these other people with some big platforms, and they're saying the same things we're saying now.
Yeah, I looked at, I saw your email tidbits, and your first link there was to that interview, Andrew
Kaufman. Yeah,
well, Alex Newman, I think, was
You're right. That was Alex Newman. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're right.
And Kaufman is related to about the COVID stuff, but Newman is with the John Birch Society and so-called New American Magazine. I imagine you're familiar with all that, right?
Dan? Oh, I used to get John Birch material all the time back in the 1980s.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got a few things I disagree with. But that video that you linked, they were right on the money. And it's just like you said, they were talking about exactly what we talk about. I don't think they've got the depth of comprehension of the big picture that people like you and I and a lot of the others here have. But they're moving in the same direction. And they've got the big platforms, especially in right-wing conservatives. And so that must be, I take that as kind of a sign from God that we're on the correct pathway. As soon as those guys hit a brick wall, they'll start looking around for people that have done more in-depth research, and they'll be coming to us, looking to us for answers to where they haven't gamed it out, but we have.
Yeah, it was also interesting just before the call tonight. There was a message that came into my inbox about Lee County, Florida. Now, Lee County is not far from me, and it's right where my brother lives and some of his friends. And that's also where Dr. Mercola has his headquarters. So the Lee County state people are resisting. They're putting up a fight. And they are. I didn't have a chance to read the entire article, but it was basically the title. I sent it out to you guys. It says, "Did we start a revolution in Lee County, Florida?" So if you read that, it'll show that the grassroots people are starting to wake up, and they're realizing that we have to push back against these people. So even at the state level.
Did you say you already sent it out, or have you sent the article out?
I'm pretty sure I did. If I didn't, it'll be on my website. Let me open up a thing here, and I'll tell you more about it. I believe it was I'm not sure if it's YouTube or not. Let me just open this. I'll tell you instead of guessing. But yeah, it had just come in. I'm pretty sure I sent it out because I wanted everybody to see it, because it's right here in my neighborhood and right where my brother lives. Here it is. Oh, it's Dr. Joseph Sansoni. I think he might even live up that way. But it's on his opensubstack.com, and it's an address, HTTPS address for it. I'm pretty sure I sent it out, and it'll say, did we start a revolution? If you didn't get it, let me know, and I'll send it out to you, and it'll be updated on my website on the Daily Mail page either later tonight or tomorrow.
Okay.
I got it.
Oh, you got it, Melissa?
Yes.
Okay.
What time was it sent out? What day?
Today.
Okay. I don't see it in my inbox.
Just a few hours ago, if even that.
The subject line says, did you start a revolution?
Yeah, it starts out with Lee County, Florida, and did we start a revolution? Maybe I got brain dead and missed you. So let me make a little note here. I'll send it to you, Charles.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Sounds interesting, yeah.
But the reason it was exciting was because, again, it's right here local, and I know a lot of patriotic people up in the center part of Florida, and they're starting to get very angry, very agitated, and they want to take action. They're tired of sitting around talking about all this garbage. And then I saw this article, and it was like, whoa. And maybe Dr. Mercola is part of all that because that's right where he's at. So, and he knows that the state government has got a lot of overreach, just like the feds. So it's very possible that he might even be part of that. Did you get a chance, Melissa, to read that by any chance?
No, I just I did look over it, but I didn't thoroughly read it because I've been trying to upload a video all day, and I have to keep redoing it. I don't know. I'm having some problems.
Hmm. Okay. I would open it, except I don't want it to interfere with my main program here. So let me see if I can. Well, like I said, anybody that didn't get it, it'll be on my Daily Mail page for sure. And if I don't forget, I'll personally email it out to you. But and it's not the only sign of the people starting to realize how late we are in the game, so to speak, and the fact that we need to take action. Henry, I unmuted you, and Lane, I unmuted you as well. So, but yep, there are signs of the New World Order has some cracks in their organization, and things are not going as well as they like everywhere. They're still getting away with a lot of stuff, but it's that old saying, you know, when your enemy's making a mistake, don't interfere.
Yeah.
The enemy could have easily just sat back and let this run out another 30, 40 years, and we'd be all trapped and virtually nothing we could have done And yet they're insane right now. They are completely paranoid and insane, and they're waking people in droves now. And this COVID thing is starting to really enlighten a lot of people because of so many people getting harmed here lately.
Yeah. And then the East Palestine thing happens, and they do the same exact modus operandi evil again. You know, people that, I mean, what does it take? A baseball bat up against the side of your head to figure out that this government is totally corrupted and dedicated to enslaving our common people? Even the stone rock stupid people, IQ 60 level, are figuring it out that there's something wrong here. There's some bad people in control of our government. So, yeah, I'm optimistic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're also fed up with all this crime, this looking the other way while the blacks are beating up white, even big black guys are beating up white women. I mean, the anti-white sentiment out there is atrocious. Of course, that's what they want. They want the chaos and the racial tension. But again, they're making mistakes, because even brain dead normies are starting to realize that this isn't just all coincidence, that all this crap's happening at the same time. So, did I tell you I unmuted you? But in case you want to say something. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just very listening.
Good. Oh, okay. Does anybody else have anything?
I can give you an update on my soap making.
Certainly, go ahead.
Well, I cooked down about a fourth of the beef fat and made some tallow, and I was really happy. I didn't lose hardly any, and what I did lose, I threw in a frying pan and used it to fry eggs this morning. But I thought I got all the ingredients, but I couldn't find lye in the store anywhere. So I had to order it, and hopefully I'm getting ready to go on a road trip, so I probably won't get it before I leave. But you know, we have all this scented laundry soap, and you can't hardly find laundry soap that's not scented. Well, I can't stand it. I don't like it. So, and I don't, you know, it says to use a cup. People, you don't have to use a whole cup of laundry soap. I raised four children. I have grandchildren and nieces, and you don't. You don't need it. But I've been using baking soda in place of laundry soap, and I noticed that I don't have as much lint in my dryer filter. And I was talking to Garth about it today, and about how when you say, for instance, a T-shirt, you wash your T-shirt several times and it starts wearing. And he said maybe the laundry soap is so concentrated, it's damaging our clothes, and that's why they wear down so fast. And that might be what's causing lint. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there about the laundry soap, because I'm trying to get away from scents and all that. And I thought that was kind of interesting, and it might be true, because he checked the hose, and then, you know, it goes outside, and I checked there to make sure it wasn't clogged up, and I'm just really not getting a lot of buildup of lint, and I'm kind of happy. Well, you know, I do save it for fire, but I just thought that was kind of interesting, and I wanted to share it.
Yeah, I've heard that before from holistic people I know, that these detergents and modern washing machines and all that are wearing out the fabrics. Plus, the fabrics aren't made as strong as they used to be, but the detergents and stuff and chemicals and dyes that they use do wear it down. The other thing you can use besides baking soda is borax. I noticed Ralph and Ella and others have said in here that they use borax. And sometimes I think people do a little mixture of baking soda and the borax.
I do with like towels and certain things. I do add the borax to my baking soda.
So a baking soda would be for like a light soiled clothing. And then if you've got heavy soiled clothes, you would throw in some like booster. Borax is a booster.
Correct. And honestly, my clothes, sometimes I don't even put laundry soap in them, because I'm just washing them because I wore them. I'm not working anymore except for outside and in the house, and they're fine. I mean, they don't smell. They're clean, and I'm kind of happy about it, because the baking soda is a little expensive. I do buy the bigger, you know, because I always buy in bulk because it's cheaper. But if you're not using a lot, then it is what it is. Dish soap, that's another story. I'll be squirting that stuff in the sink.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, when we use the natural products, it's better for our skin and our bodies, better for the dishes and for the clothes. It's better for the environment. I mean, there's plant-based detergents and soaps and all that stuff that's really, really good. And it's not all that expensive. That's all I've been using for years and years. So, but, you know, I believe a lot of people on these different platforms are talking about, it seems like mankind's consciousness is starting to elevate. Maybe not all of the zombies, but there's a significant number of the people that are awake that their consciousness is rising. And you can take a lot of the biblical scripture, and if you look at it as an allegory, because what we do is we tend to take it 100% literal. And many of the teachings of Christ in the scriptures and all that, those stories, parables, etc., they're allegories. And they're using idioms that were the common to the people 2,000-3,000 years ago. And we forget that. And so a lot of it, like attaining holiness and righteousness, is raising your consciousness to his level. Becoming Christ-like is the same as becoming like God the Father. And as you reach that level, you start thinking like he would and start believing and allowing your subconscious to guide you in the paths as he himself would do if he was standing in front of you. So a lot of people seem to be reaching that conclusion here lately, a lot more than 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. And I believe that maybe this is exactly what the description in scripture about the end of the age is talking about, when there is a turning, so to speak, a great upheaval. Because upheaval can be good or it can be bad. Everybody admits that we don't want to go back to the way things were. They were terrible. Everybody says it was the good old days. Really? What, we were murdering babies? That's okay? Okay, we let the queers out of the closet? That's okay? Government is running over us at lightning speed, and then this past 3 years it was just on steroids. Who wants to go back to that? So I would rather see the world run the way the Father intended. I would rather walk on this earth as the Father intended rather than these governments. I was talking to some gentleman earlier today about acquiring land, and as we're looking around, and he said something about, well, let's go overseas and blah, blah, blah. I says, well, if America falls, then a new world order wins, and they will implement their communist agenda across the entire earth. So where are you going to run and hide? You might gain a year or two or something, but eventually they'll find you and you'll be subjected like everybody else. So the time to fight is now. You have to make up your mind now that you'll be part of what brings down this Babylonian system instead of running from it. That's not our job, to run from it. Our job is to be as battle axes and weapons of war and destroy this damn system. I like what Ralph says here. It's time for war, not peace. Time to end the war. Yahweh declared in Genesis 3:15. Amen. Yeah. Crush the head of the serpent. Crush it. Or as Obadiah said, exterminate it. Because they are the root of the tree of evil that just keeps corrupting everything that we try to do on this earth. So the answer is to get rid of the bastards. However we have to do it, they have to go. No compromise, no backing up, or as scripture says, you will go after them and show them no mercy. That's a commandment of the Father. Well, Dan, he sounds like a really nasty God. I don't know if I want to worship a God that's that. Well, he's a God of war. I'd like to see some of these normies out here. You know, they need to take their Bibles and burn them because they don't believe anything in them anyway. You know, the Father doesn't tell you just to go out and arbitrarily pick on people and do harm to people just willy-nilly. What he's saying is you are to do violence to violent people, which is why I love that quote by the Japanese samurai Bushido. And Bushido is the code of the warrior. And the samurai had a saying that the way you deal with violent, evil men is for good men to be better trained at violence. Well, if you're trained at violence, it doesn't mean that it's so you can go sit in a pew and pray and read a Bible. It means you take your samurai sword and you go out and you slice and dice the bad guys. That's why you train. That's why the knights of the Middle Ages, the knights were considered the same as the samurai. They took oaths of, fealty. They took chivalry codes that they would protect the innocent and they would uphold God's law. And again, they were trained at violence, not so they could be bullies, but so that criminals could be dealt with easily and taken down, not dealt with as far as, you know, we'll put them in prison and let them out in a couple of years so they can do it all over again. No, you take your sword and you cut them in half and let the alligators and the snakes have them and whatever else, but you certainly don't put them in jails. Jails need to be torn down. Prisons, we don't need prisons. We just need to implement God's law. Think how much better society would be, by the way. Okay, you don't need the taxes. You don't need all the guards and the wardens and the court system. You don't need to maintain these giant prisons. And you also don't have these return criminals coming out and committing all this repeat crime. Right there, that one thing would all of a sudden instantly make this a better world. Instantly. And you just, all you're doing is implementing God's law. I yield. Ellen makes a good point here. Americans must stop worshiping the Constitution. I sent out a couple emails with links that are taking you to different groups that have come to the conclusion the Constitution was a ruse and it was something put upon us by deceptive men. Michael Gaddy's done a great audio presentation on that. Desert Owl, which is Micah Hill. He goes by Desert Owl. Desert Owl has put out some studies on how the Constitution came into being and who did it and some of the nefarious things they did in Philadelphia when it was ratified. Turns out it was kind of criminal. Michael Gaddy goes into great detail about people that were there, like Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was not even supposed to be there. None of the states wanted him to represent them. So when it says that we the people, this is being done for we the people, that was actually, they were connected representatives for certain groups. They weren't there, not all of them anyway, were there for actually the people. So the Constitution led us away from God's law. So that's a negative thing. Ralph says here, as per the book of Obadiah, they have committed a sin unto death. Yeah, it's time for capital punishment to be brought back. And think about this. Who took us away from capital punishment? Because when I was a boy, they were still executing rapists and murderers. And all of a sudden, all these do-gooders and stuff that had Jewish money hanging out of their pockets were saying, oh, that's cruel and unusual punishment. Really? Really? Have you ever looked at the statistics on crime and how much crime, like murder and rape, is done by repeat offenders? Well, that tells you one thing. If you did what God said to do, which is execute the bastard, all those women and children and everybody that had been harmed by those SOBs would be okay today. Instead, we put them in prison where they can learn their mistakes and learn from people that are better at crime and come out with a degree in criminality so that they can come out and do more harm in our society. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm all in favor of let's do what our Heavenly Father said to do. Why do we constantly want to do it the way men tell us to do it instead of the way our Creator told us to do it? Henry says Freemasons need to die. Oh, well, if they've committed it doesn't matter who they are. If they commit a crime such as rape, murder, kidnapping, and all that, pedophilia, treason, it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter how much money they have, how big the house is that they've got, what kind of job they've had, or if they're in the government, whatever, or if they're in the military or in the police. Doesn't matter who they commit those crimes, they should be executed immediately. It used to be in colonial America when the meeting house, they didn't even call it a church. It was the meeting house. So all week long, the meeting house is where they would hold court. They would discuss business for the local town. And then on Sunday, that would be where the preacher would get the book out. So it wasn't a church. It was a meeting house. And in the meeting house in colonial America, they would bring the Bible in and set it on the podium, and that's why everybody stood up. They did not stand up for the judge. The judge is just a person. They stood up because the scriptures were being brought in, and they would be put on a podium right in front of the judge at the bench and facing the people in the courtroom. And the judgment rendered to somebody found guilty was often read by the clerk right out of scripture, Leviticus or Deuteronomy. And typically, if the person was guilty of a capital crime, they would throw a rope up through the rafters of the meeting house, and they would hang them right there in the courtroom. That's how fast justice was done in those days. You commit the crime, you're found guilty by a jury of your actual peers, not the way we do it today, but the way it was meant, though, your peers, and there is no doubt about your guilt. Well, then they would just take the rope and put it up through the rafters and hang you right there. No time in jail. Nobody has to feed you, clothe you, give you medicine, take care of you. None of that. Just put you in the ground where the Father says we're supposed to put bad people. I don't see anything wrong with that system. I yield.
Well, if nobody's competing for the microphone, it's such a pleasure to be in a conference where people actually share the microphone openly without the competition getting so intense that people start getting peeved at each other. I want to note that. This is an excellent group. I really like it. But I mentioned in the chat window there are two issues I engaged in. The word violence, Brother Dan, technically, legalistically speaking, that means lawless use of force. And I don't know what that Japanese guy that you quoted there, I don't know. He probably spoke his words in Japanese and it got translated over into advocating violence. But I dare suggest that he probably was not advocating lawless force, but force that is entirely justified. And legalistically, you know, there's a lot of propaganda in our circles that's designed to position us with wording in our documents, in our the recorded messages, in our conferences and things, where we're using our terminology in manners that sets us up to be railroaded in one of those kangaroo evil empire courts. And so I would just, on the first issue here, I would strongly encourage everybody to avoid any terminology wherever they're talking, written or verbal here. Avoid terminology that indicates that we approve, any of us approve, of that word violence. The proper terminology there is lawful administration of force, justifiable force, justified homicide. We can talk about things like that and embrace those concepts, but I'm really apprehensive that word violence, when good patriots use it without comprehending its legalistic meaning, they're on shaky ground. And so kind of a heads up, a word to the wise here, that I think it's dangerous to be using the word violence in manners that indicate that any of us are embracing that concept. I yield.
Well, I think it's understood that when we talk about violence, we're using just the vernacular meaning, not a legalistic meaning. And you're right, there it is a translation of the Japanese code. It just means with force, okay? Criminals commit violence unlawfully, but good guys do violence by the law, if you want to look at it that way. Whatever term you want to use, it just means that you use force to go after these bad people, and if they're guilty of a capital crime, you execute them. That's basically what they're saying.
Right, right. I'm glad you're open-minded to the concept, and in these private discussions, it probably doesn't make a whole lot of difference. But if you're going head-to-head against corrupted judges or prosecutors or something like that, you certainly don't want to be saying things like you're advocating or defending violence, because they'll use that against you in a flash. I just kind of wanted to make the record about my concerns there, because those devil worshipers, they use any little smidgen of color of legitimacy for their brutally ruthless prosecution of our people. We see it all the time. And so unless you're watching your P's and Q's with details like that, they're going to get some kind of a handle on you to spin your spiritual energy in a negative direction, to paint you as a lawless and dangerous person. And that's all they need with these weak-minded juries that they assemble together, the 14th Amendment slaves. They'll railroad you. They'll take perverse delight in railroading good people just because simple little poor choice of words like that I use.
Yeah, there's an old axiom when I was first going to Patriot meetings back in the 1980s and 1990s. We would often talk about the founding fathers and even the philosophers before America was a colony, going back to the 1400s, and going back to the Magna Carta. The intent of a law is more important than the wording of a law, because
right.
silver-tongued devils will do exactly like you're saying. They will start getting you to focus on what a word means and completely ignore what the intent of that mm-hmm. law was.
Yeah.
A perfect example is the Second Amendment. They sit here and they get us arguing about what does the word militia mean? What does regulated mean? And completely ignore what was the intent of the Second Amendment. Well, obviously the intent is crystal clear. We are to be armed with whatever the military and police has.
Yeah.
We are to have the same armament that the military and police has. Why?
Yeah.
Because someday we may have to fight them.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
become tyrannical and despotic. Then we are to be armed where we can defend ourselves from our servants. So if they have submachine guns, we have submachine guns. If they have MRAP vehicles, we can have MRAP vehicles. If they have tanks, we can have tanks.
Right.
Period. Whatever they've got in the way of armament, we are allowed to have. That's what the Second Amendment means.
Yeah. In the larger context there, we just got done fighting a life and death struggle war against the evil empire, British Empire, of so-called Great Britain. And that's the larger context within which the Second Amendment was written. And they want to take that all away and cherry pick it out of the context within which it was created to pretend like, oh, now we've got a benevolent government that we can trust and it's never going to do anything wrong that people are going to have to rise up in arms about. Those people are delusional. They need to be slapped up across the side of the face. And if they persist, they need to be arrested for engaging in treasonous conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. The main thing is people have to take action. You know, that's why Christ said, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out. You know, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but don't be stuck in the middle. Don't be one of these lukewarm mamsy pamsy soy boys and girls like we have out there. Be one or the other. Be on fire for Satan or be on fire for me. But don't be sitting there in the middle trying to play both ends of this game like you can keep your foot in Babylon and keep your foot in Yahweh's kingdom. It doesn't work that way. That's why he said, I'm going to spew you out like vomit. That's pretty nasty. I don't know why anybody wants to sit in the middle. I'd rather be hot for him. And if I go down, I go down. Just like yeah. Ralph says, you know, I'm ready. I've been ready for a very long time. I've known from the day I started fighting the system that my only protection was the Father himself. Because I got no money. I got no army. I've got no tanks. I got no bulletproof glass on my. I don't have any defenses except him.
Yeah.
And my favorite verse about that is, he reproved kings and princes, saying, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm."
Yeah, yeah, we've got powerful protection, and that's why. And America has a grand tradition of the common law. See, we are different than England and Canada and Australia. They have the same common law tradition as us, but in fact, a little bit better because they're a little bit closer to the original source with the monarchy of England. But since 1066, the Norman conquest, they've been subjugated and conquered. We broke free from that conquest, and we've got it firmly written in stone and in blood that we are a free people with the right to fight back against tyranny, and that's why we've got the Second Amendment here. So we've got a head start on this whole spiritual battle that the whole rest of all the common law nations don't have.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm glad to see people pointing out that, you know, we, in fact, some preachers are even starting to preach sermons about it. We've made worshiping the Constitution like idolatry. I mean, that's all you hear people talk about. They don't take it back to the source of our rights, the source of our law, which is God himself, not a bunch of guys that got together in Philadelphia and put stuff on pen to paper and ignored the Articles of Confederation, ignored all the warnings of the Founding Fathers that said this Constitution has failed. This Constitution is not doing what you're telling the people it's doing. It's setting us up for failure. And yeah. As we look at 200 and some years later, yeah, it has failed us. We got a bunch of politicians in there that the Constitution doesn't mean diddly squat. For those of us been in the Patriot movement, we know when we've gone into courtrooms and all that, they violate your rights all the time.
All the time. Yeah, right on.
So when you have bad servants, Scripture is very clear about what you do with bad servants. When you have a child that's disobedient, you punish them.
Yeah.
If you have servants who are disobedient, you punish them. There's nothing unbiblical about this. This modern age bullshit story that Christ was like a little fairy and he's like a little hippie and I just love everybody. Oh, it doesn't matter what you do. I just love you. Love, love, love. Here, have a posy. Here's a little rose and a posy because I just love that's not Christ. I mean, if you read the old documents from the old church fathers and all that, their description of Christ was quite different. He was muscular. He was a carpenter. If you look at what carpenters did in that day, they had to tote some heavy lumber around. They were swinging hammers and chisels and stuff all day long. He was muscular. He was a man. And besides that, you had to have some heavy-duty testosterone to beat Jews from the money tables at the temple.
Yeah.
Separating a Jew from his money, man, you better have some stones and some testosterone. So he was no little pansy, little soy boy with his hair up in a bun and all that bullshit. He was a virile man. He was a fighter. If you read the scriptures properly, he advocated having a sword. All he said to Peter when he tried to take the guy's head off was that you're not you could do that. You're interfering with the plan, Peter. He didn't tell him to disarm himself.
Right,
he didn't
right.
say you don't have a right to defend me or the rest of the apostles. He just said, whoa, you're out of line here. I didn't give you permission to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I told you, they're going to come and get me. I told you, this is all going to happen. So put that sword in the scabbard and save it for another day.
Yeah.
You're going to need it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he really said. And this whole modern-day church world bullshit, be a pansy, nonviolent, be against weapons, be against defending yourself, that's all hogwash.
Right on, Brother Dan.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I talk to people almost all day long. I'm on the phone or on emails or conference calls almost every day, all day. And the level of frustration and anger, I've never seen it as high as it is right now. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of the military-aged guys, the fighting-age guys, are itching at the bit to get something going. They're tired. They're tired of watching innocent people being harmed. They're tired of watching their children being harmed in schools, being harmed by the queers. They're tired. And I predict it's not going to be long before sparks are going to fly. That's the feeling I get. It won't be long. So we better be ready for that, because like you said, we are the elders. We know the reason for all this. Some of these younger guys may not know that much. They just know something's terribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they just want to be pointed in the right direction. So we have to remind them of what our Heavenly Father gave us rules about conducting warfare. We have a right to harm the enemy. We have a right to defend ourselves, but we also have rules. Okay, we just can't go out and pick off whoever we think is a bad person. We have to have evidence. We have to know somebody's a bad person. Now,
right.
If they're wearing, you know, if they're wearing an enemy uniform, well, that's obvious. They've stated who they are. That's different. But I'm just saying, in the public, you just can't think somebody looks suspicious and go up and put a bullet in them. No, you don't have a right to do that. Follow
right.
the rules. Yeah, I yield.
Thank you, Dan. This is why working with you and working in promoting the common law courts, in my mind, it's like a chess game, and we can either play defense and wait for them to start their whole FEMA camp agenda and start arresting us and then try to fight back. But that's a defensive strategy. That's wait. That gives them the authority to decide when and where the conflict starts. See, when we bring criminal complaints like our coronavirus complaint against these conspirators, and then we eventually get to the point where our jury invites the accused criminals in to defend themselves and they fail to appear and our jury issues arrest warrants against them, we've exhausted the pathway of peace against them. And at that point, we've got the legitimate constitutional right to take the battle to them, to their front door, with a big nasty crowd on the front steps of their public offices, and push forward with enough force to take that corrupted public servant that's been lawfully convicted out of his office and lock him in chains and drag him away to jail or whatever punishment our jury adjudicates. And at that point, we are in position of control to start spreading out from there and start arresting other criminal conspirators that we know are scheming against us. They've already got a track record of doing it, and we will be the ones initiating the force lawfully rather than allowing them to continue to do their lawless violence against us, where we're playing a defensive game. I yield.
Yep. Well, that's one question I have. When we come down with a verdict like that, where would you arrest them and take them to? Where are you going to hold this trial?
Well, that's two different questions. One is where do we hold the trial? The other is where do we imprison the criminals? Right?
Yeah, well, people are going to say, where is this all happening? I mean, you're talking about the concepts about how does this, what's the nuts and bolts of how this happens? In other words, what brings this all together and actually presents itself? How does it manifest to actually go get these guys, and where would you pick them up and take them?
Well, the first step is to get our jury verdict and issue our arrest warrants. That's step number one. And we can do that in phone conferences if we need to, or the final stages, we could do it on the front steps of a courthouse or some public building of some sort where the accused criminal is probably in his office inside there, and we can have the final jury verdict right on the front steps of the public building. So there's different ways of gaming it out. And as our jury starts coming together to decide the technical issues, we can also decide these broader strategic issues at the same time by the agreement of the 12 that are the Supreme Council of our governing body. And as far as where do we hold them, we've got lawful authority to hold them anywhere, but I'm optimistic that constitutional sheriffs, common law compliant sheriffs, I think is better terminology, like Darleaf, okay, he's got a jail. All we need to do is transport him over there to his county in Michigan, and if we've got previous agreement from him, because there's other constitutional sheriffs that might be available for that too. There's a multitude of options. I think our bigger task is to get our process up and running and start getting our jury verdicts lined out so that we can take the battle to them and we're no longer playing defensive. I yield.
Well, that's why I think it's important that we get the sheriffs involved here to tell us what we can do to help them get this set up. We need the sheriffs. We need the posses who are just militiamen that have been deputized by the sheriff. So the sheriff and his posse, people need to see this actually work. They need to see somewhere where we actually go through the steps of how this all works. We find a criminal at, say, the state or county level, and certainly a lot of them are criminals, even county commissioners and mayors and stuff like that. Many of them are guilty of crimes. We're finding that out here in Southern Florida. Many of these local politicians and county commissioners have committed crimes. They're selling off farmland to foreign countries or anything that puts money in their pocket. They're just looking the other way. So we certainly have enough bad people, but somewhere we need to pick somebody out that we have the evidence against them, and then with the sheriff and the go in and get our jury verdict and then actually go in and arrest somebody. So
yeah,
people can see this actually in working, manifesting, see this process manifest.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on, Dan. I'm working on, I want to do one more revision on our coronavirus model jury verdict there. I posted links to it. I don't know if you've had a chance to review them yet in my Dropbox account. And I just got my webpage. I've had webpage problems for a while here. But the web pages are working right now, and I just got FTP working again so I can transfer files. And so I don't need to use the Dropbox. I can use our webpage at constitutionalgov.us for cases like Cindy Falco's case and the other cases we're working with, as well as our coronavirus case. And I will be updating that model jury verdict. I'm not really happy with the latter portions of We did find judicial orders. That last one is really long, and it needs to be massaged a little bit. So I expect to have that completed probably within a couple of days here. So, yeah, I'm optimistic we're going to be in a position to move past just talking about it like we've been doing so far in a lot of good forums. It's healthy to talk it out, game it out, but there comes a time for putting down books and long last looks and locking and loading and getting ready to start move. And we're getting closer and closer to that all the time. I'm really enthused about bringing God's kingdom to this earth in a meaningful manner soon. I yield.
Well, amen. That's really what it's all about. And that's the good thing that I'm starting to see in all these other platforms. And it's actually quite surprising, the number of platforms that are reiterating what you just said. They're talking about, the scriptural biblical way of life that we're supposed to live. It's outside of this man-made government system, which is anti-Christ, anti-moral. And we need to get back and live that kind of way and be men and women, free men and women upon the land, not subject to some crown, not subject to some constitution or parliamentary edict or whatever. These people are corrupt. Every one of them is corrupt. And we need to walk away from them, take away their power. First of all, give them no obedience, give them no money, give them none of our time and attention. And when we have evidence of them committing a crime, have our sheriffs, our constables, and our posses ready to go out and get them. And if they come on our territory, if they come on our soil, then we will defend our soil. Period.
Right on. Right on. I think I've got a web link I'll post here to our coronavirus criminal complaint in the chat window. Ella was talking about naming Bill Gates there. Yeah, that would be a good arrest warrant. A lot of people would support us if we issued an arrest warrant against Bill Gates.
I can't picture another individual I'd rather see dangling from the end of a rope. That would be quite nice. I would say Anthony Fauci would also be another prime individual. And Deborah Birx, let's not leave the ladies out. Deborah Birx is promoting lies and fraud and murder. So take all three of them and put them on a gallows and pull the lever on all three of them at one time. I mean, what a better thing to do with good rope. I mean, that talk about bang for the buck. All right, three at once, three of the biggest criminals to walk the earth right there. Then we can start going from there on to the rest of them, the Rothschild, Khazarian mafia, and the mafia within our government. Our government is run by mafia. I hope people understand that.
We don't have
parliamentary government or constitutional government. We have a crime family. Organized crime has taken over all of the countries of this world, especially the white nations. Organized crime has taken over government. That's why they operate the way they do. They're operating by the rules of organized crime. They're not operating by anybody's constitution. That's why George Bush Jr., the idiot that he is, said the Constitution was just a goddamn piece of paper.
Okay? True words were never spoken. Yeah, right on.
Right. They have nothing but contempt for common law, biblical law, constitutional law, parliamentary law. They don't care. You're talking to crime family people. That'd be like going into Al Capone going, "Hey, Al, we got a constitution here." He'd pull out a submachine gun and mow you down right on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Organized crime. We're up against organized crime, and they won't stop. They have no respect for human life. They have no respect for morality, no respect for law.
Right. Right. They certainly won't stop voluntarily. Your words are meaningless to them. Until they see the points of our guns and our bayonets, they are going to continue their criminal abuses of our common people. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's what the Bushido code means. Even if the, like I said, the words may not be perfect, but the intent of the Bushido Code is simply saying good men should be trained to where they are better at military tactics and when you're up against criminals, better trained in hand-to-hand combat, better trained in weaponry, better trained in tactics.
Yeah.
So that bad guys can be taken out without losing good guys.
Yeah.
And I'm all for that. I think we've got enough innocent bloodshed. I think it's time for wicked people to start bleeding out. So, you know, I'm all for that. And we should go in very well trained, very well armed, and we should do it just like General Douglas MacArthur said. All of his military campaigns were designed to take the least amount of casualties to his men. He was one of the few commanders in World War II that put such a high priority on the number of people killed in action during his campaigns. He had the lowest of all the commanders of World War II because he specifically told all of his sub-commanders that we will do what it takes to get our objective with the least number of casualties.
Mm-hmm.
All the other commanders looked at our soldiers as just meat bags to be thrown at the enemy, and so if they took 50,000-60,000 dead, that was okay. MacArthur said no. There's ways of using our bombers, there's ways of using tactics instead of killing our soldiers on the field. So
well,
go ahead.
Thank you. This whole thing in Ukraine, I'm over 50% of the belief that Putin and Zelensky and the evil empire of the USA, they're all working together to kill, to murder the young innocent men of military age. They're working together. They're killing them off because the young men are the ones that are capable of wresting them from power and converting their governments to a serious Christian common law model of government. So they got to keep the population of healthy young men to a minimum, because that's always the biggest danger to evil empire conspirators. I think they're all working together. These wars are just a big, ugly fabrication, and it's not a war of Russia versus Ukraine or Russia versus the USA or NATO. It's a war. It's a class warfare of the people in positions of power in all governments and economic power and governmental power against the common working class people. It's class warfare. People that talk about race war, they piss me off so much that, anyway, I'm ranting too much. I yield.
Well, you'll like Alex Newman's interview with Greg Hunter, because Alex is of the same opinion. He thinks all of the world leaders are in cahoots with each other. Okay, so this whole show and everything on our screens today coming through any media is a show. It's all orchestrated and all for show. So Putin is just an actor like all of them are. And Newman agrees 100%. He said, you know, we at the grassroots level have to take back control. We're the only ones who have any morality and any right to do it. These bureaucrats and these bad actors under Zionist control, that's all they are, is actors. They're putting on a stage production, and you think about it, the Latin phrase, qui bono, who benefits? Well, who benefits from all this warfare? Well, the Jews do. You got pretty much Aryan or white soldiers killing each other on battlefields and dying. They love that. They're making money selling the medicines. They're making money selling the armament. They're making money in direct contributions. Like we've sent, what, $500 million or several billion dollars? Maybe it was $500 billion already to the Ukraine. What do you think that money's going to any beneficial cause in the Ukraine? Absolutely not. It's going in through the back door and right back to Washington pockets and Jewish banker pockets and corrupt criminal pockets. I mean, this insanity's got to come to an end. The righteous people have to come up and stand up and say, in the name of Yahweh, I condemn what is going on here. In the name of Yahweh God, I condemn this and call for it to cease right now. All of this murder and mayhem to cease. And I want all righteous men at arms, instead of fighting wars against no-win wars for these damn Jews, start going in to the Kremlin and arresting everyone there, Washington, D.C., arrest them there, and anywhere they're hiding, even out in Colorado, Iron Mountain, wherever these bastards are hiding, go out there and dig them out and arrest them.
Yeah. Right on, Brother Dan. But don't forget, London and Rome, the Vatican, the murderers of Tyndale and Wycliffe. I think I've made the record before that I think at least equal to those Pharisee Ashkenazi Jews is the Romanists. The Romanists have been at war against Protestant Christianity since the Roman Empire put the sword in Jesus Christ and nailed him to the cross. So those Pharisee Jews and the Roman Empire slave traders in the modern Roman Catholic Church, they work together hand in glove, and they're conspiring to establish a satanic evil empire form of government that is in bold-faced conflict against the righteous, godly, biblical principles that have been embodied in our Protestant common law traditions. I yield.
I would concur. You're right. The Roman Catholic Church has been political from the day it was conceived. It's been run by Jesuits and Jews from day one. Okay? The whole concept of the Roman Catholic Church is Antichrist.
See, right on. Thank you, Dan.
Everything about it. I mean, call no man on earth your father. And yet, what do they call the priests? Father. Keep your head uncovered when you pray. What do they put on? Basically a yarmulke, just like a Jew does. They look just like Jews. They got their little beanie on their head. What the hell's that got to do with righteousness? The book says to be uncovered, and they're covered. So everything they do is Antichrist. Christ walked around in just a simple robe, garment, and sandals. They've got opulent clothes on that cost thousands upon thousands of dollars, jewelry and expensive stones and gold and all this crap. He's got a bent cross, which is a satanic symbol that he walks around with. Everything about the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm going to tell you something. I learned that from former Catholic priests that I've run into through my years and former Catholic parishioners. That's who taught me the evils of the Roman Catholic Church. I didn't learn it on my own. It was ex-Catholics, either priests or parishioners, who told me what they learned, and they left the Catholic Church. Most of the organizations that I have been in my lifetime, 50% of the people in the congregation were former Catholics that saw through the lies and deception and walked away from it to come to the true faith in our Father and come out of that evil satanic system.
Right on. Right on.
Yeah, we got a lot of things to clean up. The good news is it won't be that hard to do. Once we get people to get their heads out of their rectums so that they can see straight and get them armed and get them pissed off enough to do something, we can clean this mess up quick. All we have to do is start holding people accountable for what they do. That's the first and most important thing to do. Correctly identify the enemy and hold people accountable.
Right.
Because we haven't been doing it. In my lifetime, we have not been doing it. How you?
Yeah, for a long time.
It'll be fun. I'm hoping the Father wants me to stick around long enough to witness it, but I know it'll be fun. It'll be fun. Once it gets going, it's going to burn like a fire, just like Obadiah says. The sons of Yahweh, when they finally get that righteous indignation burning in their hearts and they've got a loaded rifle in their hands, it's going to burn like a wildfire. And we're not going to stop until they're all gone. That's my goal. Now, I'm not stopping until they're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
No compromise, no mercy, and no quarter will be given. Because no quarter will be asked. That's the way you fight a war like this. It's to the end. We win or you win. No between. I'm all in favor of our side winning. So everybody that agrees with that, let's go.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think we're looking good, Brother Dan.
Okay. Very good. We've done all the talking pretty much, Charles. Anybody else out there have anything they want to say before we close?
I want to touch on your comment about got to love everybody and have all this peace. The problem with people is they don't study their Bibles. They go to these buildings and they let someone tell them what to think and what the Bible says. If they would read the Bible, just like in Judges, the story of Deborah, and I'm not going to say the woman's name right, Jerel, who put the spike in the enemy's head. 1 Samuel 15, Yahweh told Saul to go and completely destroy Amalek. He didn't obey him. But there's a big problem with people not studying the word. And Dan, I have stole this from you, and I love it so much. We chew the meat and spit out the bones. Even reading the Bible, we have to do that.
Yes, we do, because there are other ancient writings that we should be studying besides what the Catholic Church told us is canon. Obviously, the Catholic Church is corrupt as hell, and we've said that, and yet people are carrying Bibles around that the Catholic Church put together. I mean, that should tell you right there, prima facie evidence that... no, there are other writings from antiquity that teach the same things that our Messiah and our people have thought and believed for thousands of years. Everything is not in the Bible. The word Bible comes from the Greek word biblos, which just means book. That's all it means, book. It was a book put together by the Catholic Church. And in fact, by the way, on my shelf over here, I've got a big, thick Protestant Bible with great big thick leaves on it that my grandmother owned. It was produced in the 1850s. All right. Beautiful, beautiful Bible with all kinds of colored plates in it and everything else. And it has the books of the Apocrypha in it. Mm-hmm. So in the mid 1850s, the Protestant Bibles had the apocryphal books in them, and yet almost none of the modern translations in your churches today have the books of the Apocrypha. So who took them out? Okay, right. I have a pretty good idea who took them out, but right there is proof that that what we consider, quote, canon scripture has been adulterated even within the last 200 to 300 years. So if you go back 2,000 years, 3,000 years, you're going to tell me that these monsters haven't tampered with what we're reading today? Of course they have. So that's why Yahweh said, my kingdom's within you. My Holy Spirit's within you. You don't need a piece of paper or a book to read to know that. Mm-hmm. When you come to know the Father inside you, when you have that epiphany, and you come to the knowledge that you are a sinner, you have been outside of his law, that's what that means, and you realize that you've been an errant child of his, and you say, Father, I repent of that. I want you to forgive me. Forgive me for my ignorance. Forgive me for my arrogance. And I want to be washed. I want you, through your Holy Spirit, to just wash all of that garbage right out of me. And you make me the man or woman that you want me to be. Wash all that garbage out and fill me with your spirit, your thoughts, and your words so that I become an extension of you.
Yes.
And we don't need paper to do that.
Right.
Okay? No interpretation needed. When I pray at night, there's no interpreter there. When I pray in the morning, there's no interpreter there. He understands everything I say or think, and I pick up whatever he's telling me. Pure and simple. No need of interpretation. No need of, well, what version of the Bible were you reading last night, Dan? That's never been asked of me. Isn't that funny? Not one time in my prayers did he say, well, I would listen, Dan, except you're reading the wrong version. No. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. We have a direct line of communication with our Creator, and he's waiting for us to wake the hell up. We have the power. We have the right. When we're in line with him, we have the right to be the rulers and administrators of his law on this land. And as Charles pointed out, when we talk about violence, we're talking about violence of those who would do harm to the innocent and violate God's law. That's all. It's forcefulness, fierceness, whatever term you want to use, but that's what it's for, is we are commanded to be soldiers, to be his battle axe and weapons of war, to bring peace on the earth, not violence, not unlawful violence or unlawful activities, but to bring lawful activities and to support those who are doing it right and to destroy those who would destroy the innocent people and his law. That's our commission.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right on, Brother Dan. That the word, a judicially issued warrant, it's similar to the word war. It's based upon the word war. The term warrant and war are directly related, and there's case law and things that say that criminals are at war with society. If they commit crimes, they are at war against our larger society. So they are the ones engaging in aggressive warfare against us. And we are thereby warranted and justified. The words warranted and justified are synonymous. When you're justified, you are warranted in taking up arms and administering whatever force is necessary in order to put an end to the danger from that criminal that's engaging in aggressive war against us. I yield.
Amen. And when it says the authorities do not wield the sword in vain, we are the authorities they're talking about, not people with uniforms and badges on. We, the people who love the God of heaven, we are the ones in authority, and we wield the sword to take out those who violate his law and bring injustice on this earth. That's why it says, if you're wicked, if you're a bad person, you better be careful of the authorities, because he's going to wield the sword to take you out. He will support righteousness, and he will destroy the unrighteous. Well, that's not government. Governments do unrighteous stuff all the time. They live with it. All right? They're talking about us. We have that authority. They don't. We do.
Right on.
I can't wait. I got a sword. I got a battle axe. I got several swords, battle axes. I got shotguns, muzzle loaders, combat knives, you name it. I'm ready to go. I'll probably go down in the first fight, but what the hell? I've got hardware here, and I'm ready to use it. I'm ready to use it on wicked people. I'm tired. It's like we've said, you know, bad people do what they do because they don't think there's any consequence for their bad behavior, and they're for a long time. I want to see a group of righteous men prove them wrong. I want to see wicked people struggling and dying by the thousands, because they're everywhere around us, so that when they're gone, it's the righteous people that will inherit the earth. I think that would be great. Wouldn't it be good to know that you don't even have to lock your windows and doors? You can take a walk at 3 o'clock in the morning and not worry about, you know, where I grew up, that's pretty much the way it was. We never locked anything. We could go out any time of day or night. Us kids would walk all over the hillsides and down by the creeks and all that. We never worried about that kind of stuff because we lived in a righteous neighborhood. and a whole county of righteous people. And if you step that line, I'm going to tell you something. You didn't have to worry about the sheriff coming. You had to worry about the fathers coming. Because where I grew up, fathers would go in and get their pitchforks and their rifles. And they were coming after you. If you threatened their children or their way of life, they were coming after you. They didn't sit around waiting for the sheriff.
That's the way
we got to get back to.
And the local constables were much more common back in those early years, too. So, right on, Brother Dan.
Right. We have been brainwashed to think the only people that have a right to use force are these people with badges and uniforms, and that's wrong.
That's wrong.
My grandfather set me straight on that when I was a young man. He said the police are a private army for the people in government. They're not here for us. He said, if you think they're here for you, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You're crazy. They are as a private army for the mayors and the commissioners, the state representatives. They are their private army. Yeah. If they do something good for you, it's only because it's by accident or somebody took it upon themselves. Their actual job is to maintain the status quo. That's our actual job.
There's case law that says precisely that, Dan. That's well documented.
Yeah, amen. So, all right. Well, we've got an hour and a half here. So I'm going to go ahead and close this out with a short prayer. And it's been a lot of fun. I did record it, so it'll be on my website on that page for the archives for today. And so if anybody missed it or if they want to go back and hear something again, it'll be up there. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this chance to come together. We thank you for the technology. Technology can be used for good or evil, obviously, and we're trying to do good things with it. We thank you for it. We pray that the word goes out to all those who are meant to hear it. We know these words that we speak do reach a lot of ears. And how it happens, we don't know, but you just said it would happen. So we're putting it into the ether, your commandments, your laws, your ways, your will upon this earth. And we haven't done a very good job of it. We're repenting of it now. We're coming to you as your children, and we're saying we're sorry. We've been pretty lax in being dutiful children and upholding your law. We want to change that, and with your help, we're going to change that. So fill us with your spirit and give us the spirit of a warrior. Give us good discernment. Also give us mercy and compassion where it's desired and needed, but also give us righteous indignation that we can commit to force when it comes to dealing with these wicked and evil people. And to that end, Father Yahweh, again, we give you the praise and ask for your help and your guidance at all times and your protection from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Dan.
Yep. All right. Loved it. You guys take good care.
Yeah.
Everybody have a good day.